It's time.
Shindy DJ Not I.
DJ Not I.
DJ Not I.
Shimmy, shimmy, yo, shimmy, yeah, shimmy, yeah. Give me the mic so I can take it over.
DJ Not I.
I do it so fly. I have a vibe and I'm
flying.
Play with me, you're your average guy.
Just for n***s with brains and real things on me.
DJ Not I, another favorite of ours here at TCR.
DJ Not I, one of my favorite mashup artists. Okay, well, here's Lotte now calling, but that's fine. We haven't really started yet, so I'll just take the call. Hello. Hi. I am talking to my dad, yeah?
I thought so. Ah, okay. So I want. Prevent you a mess? Are you having fun?
She's asking if we're having fun.
Right.
We haven't really started yet because it took so long for me to get all of the audio set up, and I think I finally got something that works. So we're about to get started. So it's good that you call now.
You're about to start the interview, music interview, right?
Yes, just about to start.
Yeah. Okay. I wish you a nice talk.
Yes.
I'll see you tomorrow. Okay. Good night. Sleep tight. Don't let the bed bugs bite. And if they do, hit him with a shoe until they're black and blue. Okay. Love you, Lotte. Good night. Bye-bye. All right. So, first of all, happy birthday. I know it's not your birthday yet.
Close.
Yeah, just to everybody out there in the internet world, this is my dad, William, Bill.
Hello.
Willie. I used to go by Willie a while ago, I think.
Oh, many, many years ago, I was Willie back then. No, I'm actually just playing Will.
Yeah, but you were also Bill for a while, right?
I was Bill for a while, too. Yeah.
You still go by Bill, or, I mean, is it Will? Do you prefer Will now?
Your mother decided that was what I should be called. This is about 2 or 3 years ago, so I became Will. But it's very interesting because a lot of people I have associated with over the years know me as Bill.
Right.
And so they, you know, when I'm around them, I have to answer to the name Bill. And when I'm around people like a church that didn't know me just for the last couple of years, they all know me as Will.
Okay.
But you can call me whatever you want.
No, I can't. I'll call you Dad, all right?
Okay, you can call me that too.
Yeah. One thing I'm sure that because I remember you had said this before, that you didn't want to be called Billy.
That's the one thing that I don't care for. Bill's fine, but somehow Billy just didn't. My dad used to call me Billy.
Mm-hmm.
And he used to call me that when he was angry with me, I think. And I just, that, so most people don't call me Billy unless they want to fight.
Okay, well, that's interesting because that ties in with the song I'd like to start with, actually, which is sort of related to your dad and my grandfather, who I never really got to know very well because he was, you know, he was in the nursing home, basically.
Right.
And I do remember one thing when we went to Connecticut and visited and Aunt Elsie's house on the beach.
Right.
And he got a... You know, they let him out for a little bit of the nursing home, and he came down, and they were making music.
Yeah, yep. That was, see, during my dad's time, what I mean by that was when he was in his 20s or 30s, he and my mom and Uncle Pud and Aunt Elsie and all of those folks, whenever they get together, that's what they did for their own entertainment, is they sang. And my dad was a big barbershop quartet guy, so he insisted on perfect harmony. So, but that's what they used to do. So, and it carried on through the years. Whenever they'd get together, they'd make music. Nobody does that anymore, unfortunately. Hardly anybody, unless you're a musician of some sort. You know, getting together with your band.
What sort of songs were they playing?
A lot of the music that they knew from their era.
Right.
Old songs that mainly my dad and all of them used to sing together. And they'd been singing them together for years and years, so they all knew them really well. And everyone knew their part. But I'm trying to think. Well, let's see. I Had a Dream, Dear. What was it? My dad always did this. Every time they got together to sing, his first words would be, "Now." I don't know why. He always started it with "Now." And my sister and I have become, this is sort of a joke with us. When I call her on the phone, I start off by saying, "Now." And she automatically knows who I am.
Right.
But anyway, he would always start it out that way. "Now I had a dream, dear. You had one too.
Come, sweetheart, tell me. Now is the time. You tell me your dream. I'll tell you mine. I had a dream, dear. You had one. Mine was the best dream, 'cause it was of you. 'Cause, sweetheart, tell me
Well, I'm just going to play you the song, okay?
Okay.
Without my walking stick, I'd go insane. I can't look my best, I feel undressed without my cane. Must have my walking stick, 'cause it may rain. halls can't be outdoors without my cane. If I ever left my house without my walking stick, well, it would be something I could never explain. Or the thing that makes me clear on Lover's Lane would go for naught if I were caught without my cane.
So who was that?
That was Leon Redbone. Leon Redbone, quite a character, actually. I haven't seen him or heard of him for a while now, but
since Seattle Center, he performed there.
That's my mom in the background, by the way.
Yeah. She said something about him performing at Seattle Center.
That was the last time we saw him, I think.
Yeah, it was quite a while ago.
Yeah, but I'm a bit more interested in when we first saw him, because that song was recorded in 1975 from the On the Track album.
Right.
Which has a bit of a kind of Warner Brothers image on the cover with a frog dancing in front of a train, I think.
Yeah.
And as I recall, we saw him at a Shakey's Pizza place, something like that.
Gosh, no, I don't think
so. In California, no?
Well, when we were in California, where we saw him there was at the University of California, Santa Cruz.
That was with Lee and Dennis.
Yeah. But I don't remember, do you remember seeing him anywhere else?
Well, that's already a good story. Never mind anywhere else. University of California, Santa Cruz. Was I there?
I don't think so. We saw him. The Dennis and Lee went over to Santa Cruz and saw him there. I'm trying to remember where else he had performed where we went to see him. Anyway. He was a one-man band, you know.
Well, where did Travis remember seeing him?
He says a Shakey's Pizza or something.
Oh.
I don't recall that.
Huh.
Well, I mean, it's something that, you know, cropped up in my mind because I had thought you had said something about that a while ago. I mean, you know, I was a kid in any case.
Right. Well, okay, so let me back you up here a minute. So where we did go a few times was a pizza parlor. I don't know if it was a Shakey's or not, but
yeah,
it was a pizza parlor, and it was in California. It was over in the other side of Campbell. And what we saw there was a bluegrass performer. There was a kid playing fiddle named Daryl Anger, and Daryl Anger was being recruited into a bluegrass group that included Tony Rice and Grisman, David Grisman.
Right.
And we went and saw, I really do believe, I can't be sure of this, but I think we saw Tony Rice performing and Daryl Anger came to play with him that night. That's who we saw.
Okay, well, I'm glad I'm not completely off about the pizza place, but
no.
Anyway, to stick with the narrative here, I remember you telling me that these Leon Redbone songs, that a lot of these songs, because that one, My Walking Stick, the original song is by, do you know who it's by, actually? Who it's written by? It's part of the so-called Great American Songbook.
I really don't know. I would imagine it would have been Fats Waller or somebody like that.
It's actually Irving Berlin.
Oh,
and cool. I think maybe this is what I remember you telling me, was that a lot of the songs that you got from your dad or sort of inherited from your dad were sort of these great popular music American songs from the 30s, even the 20s, 20s, 30s, and 40s. Popular music, and a lot of them, you know, were written by Irving Berlin or by, what are they called, Hammerstein? And
Rodgers and Hammerstein.
Rodgers and Hammerstein, exactly. And you had told me at one point that Leon Redbone was sort of a link between my grandfather and me via you, because Leon Redbone played a lot of those songs.
Leon Redbone resurrected these songs and did them in his own fashion. And it was the music. I think I've told you before that my dad, after he got out of Interlochen, came back to Brantford and he formed a band, and they played what they called the Gaslight Circuit, which were these places, basically saloons and dance halls. Back then, people used to go out on Saturday night, go to a dance hall, listen to music and dance. I mean, this was like a regular thing. And the music that they would play was of that era, obviously. And that's what Leon Redbone did, is he brought that music back. And he kind of, he did it in his own style. Sometimes it could be quite humorous. I mean, how many people do you know that would get up and perform with just their guitar and a tuba player? I mean, that's... Yeah. I don't know anybody that could do that anymore, but anyway, he did.
Right. And actually, I remember, I think it was from the same album, the song Lazy Bones.
Mm-hmm.
Lazy Bones, sitting in the sun. How you expect to get your day's work done? Right? And
yep.
I have an early memory. That was before we moved to Washington State, when we were still living in California, in elementary school. And I remember one day in the playground, that song and the whole album, actually, the whole Leon Redbone thing really got under my skin at quite an early age. Like I said, the album itself was from 1975, so you probably got it when it came out, right?
I think I did, yeah.
So I'm guessing I heard that album when I was 5, and I might have been 5 or 6, and I was on the playground. You know those concrete, those big concrete pipes they would have sometimes on the playground, you know, for kids to kind of crawl through?
Right.
And I remember there were two girls sitting in the pipe, and I was singing into the pipe, you know, using the natural kind of resonance and reverb and so on, and I was singing Lazy Bones. And you remember, actually, I think that was sort of a first sort of my awareness of girls and boys and, you know, and the whole thing. And about singing and how that can...
So how did they react to your singing?
Oh, they loved it. They loved it. And, but I do remember singing that song. And you also know that when I was a kid, I had already quite a deep voice.
Yeah, you did. People would remark on it.
Even before puberty. So that was fun. That's just a little story I wanted to share about that.
But anyway, Leon Redbone, just the reason I liked him so much and found him so appealing was that he performed this music from that era, which many, many people don't know or didn't know about. And they just brought back lots of memories when my dad and others would get together and sing, you know. There, something else about it was that... I don't know if you're acquainted with Al Jolson. Al Jolson was kind of a jazz singer back in the 20s, 30s. And it was that during that period of time that people would perform Whiteface.
Yeah.
Anyway, Al Jolson was probably one of the most famous of that era. But what a voice this guy had. And some of the things that Leon Redbone did were also Al Jolson type numbers.
You mean blackface then?
Well, okay, blackface, I guess you could say, yeah. So that's, anyway, Al Jolson, I can't think of a song right off the top of my head, but if I could, well, look him up, you'll see what I'm talking about.
Okay.
This guy was just way ahead of his time.
I've been away from you a long time. I never thought I'd miss you so. Somehow I feel your love is real. Near you I want to be. The birds are singing, it is song time. The banjo's strumming soft and low. I know that you yearn for me too. Swanee, you're calling me. Swanee, how I love you, how I love you, my dear old Swanee. I'd give the world to be among the folks in D-I-X-I, even though my mammy's waiting for me, praying for me down by the Swanee. The folks up north will see me no more when I get to that Swanee shore. I love the old folks at home. Swanee, how I love you, how I love you, my dear old Swanee. I'd give the world to be among the folks in D-I-X-I, even though my mammy's waiting for me, praying for me down by the Swanee. The folks up north will see me no more when I get to that Swanee shore. All
right. I'd like to move on to the next song now. And you were in the Navy. When did you join the Navy, actually? What year do you remember?
1959.
Wow. Okay.
Joined the Navy in 59. Actually, it's kind of interesting. I decided to join the Navy. I figured I couldn't afford to go to college, so I needed to just do something with my life. So I decided to join the Navy. And when I did it probably in, I think it was in October. And they promised me, when I talked to the guy, the recruiter, that I wouldn't need to go until after Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, you know what they did.
Yeah, of course, they probably...
I spent Christmas in Great Lakes, Michigan. Yeah. Yeah, I was in, joined the Navy in 59. Spent Christmas in the winter in Great Lakes, Michigan. What a desolate place that is. And then about 4 years in, I got out in 63.
I remember you telling a couple of stories about being in the Navy and playing the music that you were listening to at the time and kind of getting hassled for it. So my question is, what was the music? Can you name a couple of artists or whatever? I know it was like bluegrass, right? You were already into bluegrass at that time?
I was into bluegrass, sort of, but what I was playing or listening to a lot, and this was just prior to Bob Dylan coming on the scene, but I was into folk music.
Right.
Really, really heavy duty into folk music, and the people I listened to included, like, Dave Van Ronk. And, so this whole story kind of centers around Pete Seeger. Pete Seeger was an incredible songwriter and a performer of folk music, as we know. And, but one of the things that people don't realize or didn't know about him, I guess, was that he was on a list with the government as being a communist. And when I went to sea, when I was in the Navy in Hawaii, I had to cross a picket line outside the theater to go see him. Because even then, people were basically blackballing him because of his communist ties.
But Pete Seeger was actually a communist, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was.
Right.
He was. But... not like he was trying to overthrow the government or anything, but there was a magazine. I don't think it's around anymore, but back then there was a magazine called Sing Out, and Sing Out was a monthly magazine that did stories on artists of that time. You know, they'd talk about people like Leadbelly and his music. They had the words, the lyrics to his songs, and so on. And they also featured Pete Seeger in one of their magazines, one of their monthly episodes. Anyway, the long and short of it is that my commanding officer called me in to ask me about this magazine I was getting. And didn't I know that this was a communist magazine? And that, you know, that must mean that I have leanings toward being a communist. And I told him, I said, no, it has nothing to do with me being, I'm not politically inclined at all, at least at that point I wasn't. And I just told him that I like folk music, and Sing Out was a magazine that featured folk music artists and such. But I found it kind of interesting at the time to actually get called on the carpet for the magazine I was getting. That's the funny part of it.
The next song I'd like to play for you is something that you might have heard. Actually, I'm sure you know it. From 1963. Were you still in the Navy in 1963?
I was just getting out of the Navy in 63. I got out toward the end of the year.
Okay. Well, I'm going to play you this, and let's see if you recognize it.
Some people say I'm a no count. Others say I'm no good. But I'm just a natural-born traveling man, doing what I think I should. Oh yeah, doing what I think I should. And I don't give a damn about a greenback, a dollar. Spend it as fast as I can for a wailing song and a good guitar. The only things that I understand. Oh yeah. The only things that I understand. Yeah. When I was a little baby, my mama, she said, son, travel where you will and grow to be a man and sing what must be sung. Poor boy, sing what must be sung. And I don't give a damn about a greenback, a dollar. Spend it as fast as I can for a wailing song and a good guitar. The only things that I understand, poor boy, the only things that I understand. Now that I'm a grown man, I've traveled here and there, and I've learned that a bottle of brandy and a song are the only ones who care, oh Lord, the only ones who care. And I don't give a damn about a greenback dollar. Spend it as fast as I can for a wailing song and a good guitar. The only things that I understand, oh yeah, the only things that I understand. Ooh, yeah. 'Cause some people say I'm a no account, others say I'm no good, but I'm just a natural born traveling man, doing what I think I should. Oh yeah, doing what I think I should. And I don't give a damn about a greenback dollar. Spend it as fast as I can for a wailing song and a good guitar. The only things that I understand, oh yeah, the only things that I understand. That's all that I understand, poor boy. That's all that I understand.
So, you want to hear this? This is interesting. Hoyt Axton was only around for a brief period of time. I really liked him a lot because he played his guitar. He played a 12-string guitar a lot. And he did this kind of music, okay? And he did kind of a sweet song. He was in love with this woman, this girl. So the song was about wanting to marry her. And it sounds like he was maybe not quite up to the social level that her parents would want him to be. The name of the song was Vandy Vandy, I Have Come to Court You, Be You Rich or Be You Poor. And that's what we named your sister after, was that song. Written by, well, I don't know if it was written by White Axton, but it was performed by him. The only person I've ever heard do it, for that matter.
But did you have that album? I mean, you know that song, right?
I still have that album.
Right, and I think both of those songs are on there, Greenback Dollar and Vandy.
Yep.
Right. Yep. So was that, would you say that that was kind of connected to the music you were listening to at the time?
Because the folk music craze at that time, if you'll recall, included people like Odetta. I mean, if you've heard Odetta once, you don't forget it.
Right.
And other people like, you know, they bring back Leadbelly songs. I mean, if you've heard Leadbelly sing these, that's quite boisterous. And then, like I say, one of my favorites was David Van Ronk. Dave Van Ronk was like the epitome of folk music guitarist in my mind. And did I tell you that I went and saw him at the Tractor Tavern in Ballard?
I think you did.
Yeah. It was a really good concert. We'd seen him a number of times over the years, but he had gotten up in years, of course, and wasn't in the best of health. So I think it was 3 months later we heard that he had passed away. So I was so glad that I made it to Tractor to see him. But people like that were all very, very part of the whole folk music scene.
Right.
Peter, Paul, and Mary were part of it, but they were so polished.
You're right.
That they weren't like the Kingston Trio.
Right.
And Peter, Paul, and Mary and folks like that, although they were part of the folk music scene, they were a little too polished for me. I liked what I call the purest Dylan.
Yeah, like Dylan, right.
That's... Dylan came along right about that time and he put out that first record that he made. If you listen to it closely, you realize he's trying to do everything he knows how to do. He's trying to give you every type of singing or performing he can all in this one record. I guess hoping that something's going to click, right?
Right. You're talking about the first album that Dylan put out. Right, yeah. And you can kind of tell that, you know, he was basically rehearsing the styles that he had learned, mainly in New York, in Greenwich Village.
He lived with Dave Van Ronk for a while. He stayed in his apartment. And, of course, he fashioned a lot of what he was singing after Woody Guthrie. And, right. But what's even more interesting is, in my mind, is that I've been a big fan of a guy named Ramblin' Jack Elliott forever, okay? Now, Ramblin' Jack Elliott was part of that era, that scene, too. And Ramblin' Jack Elliott was a very close friend of Woody Guthrie. And matter of fact, Ramblin' Jack Elliott used to babysit for Arlo Guthrie when he was just a young'un. So we know that Dylan sort of copied Ramblin' Jack. The whole harmonica, the whole his kind of mannerisms and such.
I think Dylan is actually a kind of a theme that connects us as well. Because I know you love Dylan and you have a lot of his records. I can't say that I actually heard that many of them, except for like Blood on the Tracks and Desire and so on, in the 70s, because I don't think you were listening so much to the early Dylan at that time, after I was born.
Oh, no, I listened to the early Dylan story, yeah. but right about the time that I was getting out of the Navy in 1963, I bought the first album he made, and I bought the second album he made, and I used to carry those things around with me with one of those small little record players you could buy. It was like a little box, looked like a little suitcase. And I took that thing everywhere with me, and I played those records all the time. Basically wore them out.
So you were a bit of a musical missionary, so to speak.
I guess. But I used to carry that thing everywhere, and I'd play Dylan to anybody that would listen to it, you know?
Right.
Because I just thought he was so... How should I put it? He's like a poet, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the stuff, you know, you had to admit, or I did, that I didn't even understand some of what he was saying, although I would get little glimpses, you know, of different things he meant in different songs, and the way he presented it, of course, was very appealing. But yeah, I was
all right.
A big Dennis fan for a long, long time. Still am to some degree, maybe not as much as I used to be,
because
there's a whole lot of music out there, you know?
So I want to play you a song that it's a bit unusual. It's not, you know, it's not the typical Dylan song you might be expecting, but it's one that I have to say still brings tears to my eyes, even though on this particular album, it's probably one of the, it even has a little bit of a touch of humor in it. But I think that it's a really good song. So I'm just going to play it to you and see what you think.
Boots of Spanish leather.
Oh, I'm sailing away, my own true love. I'm sailing away in the morning. Is there something I can send you from across the sea? From the place that I'll be landing. No, there's nothing you can send me, my own true love. There's nothing I'm wishing to be owning, just to carry yourself back to me unspoiled. From across that lonesome ocean. Ah, but I just thought you might want something fine, made of silver or of golden, either from the mountains of Madrid or from the coast of Barcelona. But if I had the stars of the darkest night and the diamonds from the deepest ocean, I'd forsake them all for your sweet kiss. For that's all I'm wishing to be owning. But I might be gone a long old time, and it's only that I'm asking, is there something I can send you to remember me by, to make your time more easy passing? Oh, how can you ask me again? It only brings me sorrow. This same thing I would want today, I would want again tomorrow. Oh, I got a letter on a lonesome day. It was from her ship, it's sailing, saying I don't know when I'll be coming back again. It depends on how I'm feeling. If you, my love, must think that away, I'm sure your mind is a roaming. I'm sure your thoughts are not with me, but with the country to where you're going. So take heed of the western winds. take heed of the stormy weather. And yes, there's something you can send back to me. Spanish boots are Spanish leather.
Yeah, boots of Spanish leather. He was involved with Joan Baez at that time.
Right.
And I think that this is, that song was aimed at her.
To me, it has a bit of comedy at the end because, you know, he keeps asking, or she keeps asking, it's kind of unclear who's leaving, you know?
Right.
Who's
right.
going to Spain? And then finally, whoever is responding says at the end, okay, get me some boots of Spanish leather, you know? It's like, all I can ask is that you come back.
Right. Right.
And at the end, it's, all right, well, you've asked me several times, and I've told you again and again and again, I just want you to come back, but your heart is elsewhere, so there is one thing you can bring back to me.
Right, right.
Right. And I don't know, I guess I connect the song a little bit with me being, you know, here in Europe and sort of leaving a lot of things behind. Yeah, and making a new life here and so on. I mean, it wasn't intended that way, and I think a lot of Dylan's songs, the way we interpret them is not necessarily how he intended the song, and often he didn't, you know, he didn't have any ideas about how it should be interpreted. But
true. He used to get asked, you know, in interviews all the time what a particular song or what a particular phrase in a song meant, and he would never answer. He would never give anybody a clear picture because I think it's what you just said. I don't think in some cases he actually had an intention of a particular phrase or whatever in the song.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. We'll get back to Dylan, but one thing I wanted to say was I had wanted to play you Subterranean Homesick Blues. My question to you is, do you remember there was a Bob Dylan moment that we had together? We were cycling. We were riding our bicycles along that trail, which we used to go on a lot.
The Burt Gilman Trail.
Right. And
yes.
We stopped.
I know what you're going to say.
Okay, well, you tell me.
You know what you're going to... The vandals took the handles.
Yeah. And what was... Yeah, but
yes.
You ruined the punchline. So tell the story.
No, I mean, well, as soon as you mentioned that, I'm thinking, yeah. Well, we ran into, what was it, a gate or a fence or something?
No, it was a pump. It was a real, it was
pump,
a water fountain.
Water pump, yeah, yeah. But we couldn't use it.
Because?
The vandals took the handles.
Exactly.
Yeah, I remember that now.
Most better stay away from those who carry around a fire hose. Keep a clean nose, wash your plain clothes. You don't need a weatherman to know which way the wind blows. Oh, get sick, get well, hang around the inkwell, hang bell, hard to tell if anything is gonna sell. Try hard, get boxed, get back, ride rail, get jailed, jump bail, join the army if you fail. Look out, kid, you're gonna get hit by losers, cheaters, six-time users, hanging around the theaters. Girl by the whirlpools, looking for a new fool, don't follow leaders, or watch your parking meters. Get born, keep warm, short pants, romance. Learn to dance, get dressed, get blessed. Try to be success, please her, please him. Buy gifts, don't steal, don't live. 20 years of schooling and they put you on a day shift. Look out, kid, they keep it all hid. Better jump down a manhole, light yourself a candle. Don't wear sandals, try to forge the scandals. Don't want to be a bum, you better chew gum. The pump don't work cause the vandals took the handle.
Subterranean Homesick
Blues.
But I think the funny thing was I don't know what age I was, but I don't think you realized that I had been listening to those old Dylan records of yours.
No, I guess you, I don't think I did.
Right.
Until you quoted that line, and I'm going, well, you know, it was very funny to me, Travis, that when we were living here, one night you announced that you were going to a concert. And I said, oh, well, where are you going? Well, you're going down to the Tacoma Dome. And I said, well, who are you going to see? And you said, Bob Dylan. And I think it was
Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers.
Tom Petty. Yeah, yeah. And I said, Bob Dylan? Because think about this now. I met your mother as a result of going to see Bob Dylan perform in San Jose the night before Thanksgiving. Had to have been 64, I think. So I go there. As a result, I meet your mom. We get married. And you're our firstborn. And how many years later was it we come up here and you're going to see Bob Dylan at a concert in Tacoma?
Right.
It's just kind of, I guess.
It's not that weird when you think about it. I mean, you had a huge record collection. And, you know, no matter how much I rebelled later a bit about the music which I had grown up with, which I had heard from you basically most of the time, or all of the time, you know, from when I was born to, I don't know, I think I started exploring other music when I was, what, 7, 6 maybe. You know, you remember I started going over to Tony's, what was it? They were living in the other house from us.
Oh, yeah.
Down in Roberts Road.
She introduced you to classical music.
Exactly, right.
Yeah, yeah.
And
Tony.
Yeah. If you or mom can dig up any details, like an email address or something, I'd love to write her because.
Oh yeah.
That was.
Yeah.
It was.
Do that.
It was great, you know, just going over to the other house, right next to us on Roberts Road, right?
Right next to us. Yep.
And I really have a very clear vision of being there with them and them putting classical records on the radio, and.
Right.
Hearing Beethoven's Fifth Symphony for the first time and loving it. And do you remember what I called that music at the time?
Long hair music.
Right, which is funny because actually your music was more, at the time, was more long hair music. But it was because of these conductors, you know, which were always portrayed on the covers of these albums. And they, you know, they have long hair and crazy hair. Yeah. Anyway, why don't I play another song for you? This is still back from the 60s, and I have to say I don't think that I ever heard this music from you specifically, but I'm sure you know it. Let me just put it on.
If I were a carpenter and you were a lady, would you marry me anyway? Would you have my baby?
If you were a carpenter and I were a lady, I'd marry you anyway, I'd have your baby.
If a tinker was my trade, would I still find you?
I'd be carrying the pot you made, following behind you.
Save your love through loneliness, save your love through sorrow. I gave you my onlyness, give me your tomorrow.
Okay, so that's Johnny Cash and June Carter.
Right.
And they're singing a Kim Harden song called If I Were a Carpenter, okay? But you know who did that song better than anybody? Ramblin' Jack Elliott.
If I were a carpenter and you were a lady, would you marry me anyway? Would you have my baby? If a tinker were my trade, you still find me carrying the pots I made, follow close behind me. Save your love for your loneliness. Save my love for sorrow. I gave you my onlyness. Please give me your tomorrow. If I were a miller at a mill wheel grinding, would you miss your colored blouse and soft shoes shining? Save your love for loneliness. Save my love for sorrow. I gave you my onlyness. Please give me your tomorrow. Ooh. If I were much poorer than you seem to see me, could you ever be surer? I could really be me. Save your love through loneliness. Save my love for sorrow. Oh, 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 oh. I gave you my onlyness. Please give me your tomorrow. If I worked my hands in wood, would you still love me? You answer me, Jack, yes, sir. But how could you above me? Save your love through loneliness. Won't you save my love for sorrow? Oh, oh, oh. I gave you my onlyness. Please give me your tomorrow. If I were a carpenter and you were a lady, would you marry me anyway? Would you carry my baby?
And Jack Elliott, we used to go, when we were living up on the hill, we would go all the way up to, I want to say San Leandro, but it was San Anselmo, which was the other side of San Francisco. You go across the bridge, and there was a little club up there called the Lion's Share. And the Lion's Share is where Ramblin' Jack was performing, right?
Yeah.
And back then, being a young guy, he'd start playing this song, finger picking, and he'd come down off the stage and he'd wander through the audience singing this song. And they'd finish it and go back up on the stage and end the song up there. But he did that song better than anybody. I may have played that song off of an album I had of Ramblin' Jacks at the time called Young Brigham. And I think I played the living dickens out of that song. You had to have heard it.
Yeah, this seems to be a big hole in what I remember you playing. It's Ramblin' Jack Elliott, because you've mentioned him several times so far. And I don't know.
That is a shame, because this guy, okay, he was, a lot of Dylan is Ramblin' Jack Elliott warmed over, okay? But Ramblin' Jack Elliott, the big deal about him was, he's a guy that started out with Woody Guthrie and so on, and he went to Europe, spent a lot of time in Europe touring, became extremely popular over there. People loved him. And he came back to the States, and people recognized him, but it wasn't the same kind of fame that he got. Kind of like the jazz musicians that all went over to...
Sure, Coltrane, Ornette Coleman.
Yeah, all of them.
Right.
Louis Armstrong became more popular in Paris than he did in the United States at the time. But anyway, Ramblin' Jack, the big deal about him was he would sing, he would tell you these stories, but in between the songs on stage, he would tell you these stories. And this guy had the most incredible memory for details. He could tell you stories about when he was in Europe. He could tell you stories about being in Arizona, you know, rounding up cattle or whatever. I mean, it was all over the board with the stories. And that's the biggest thing about him was the, evidently, I didn't know this at the time, but a lot of the songwriters and singers that I like, that I came to like and still do, all knew him and associated with him. I mean, I didn't realize at the time, like Guy Clark, who was one of my favorite songwriters, knew Ramblin' Jack. And Ian Tyson, I don't know if you remember Ian and Sylvia, you probably don't.
No.
That was during the folk music craze. But Ian Tyson went on to become his own person and write his own songs. But him and Ramblin' Jack, you can see these guys all getting together telling stories. I would have liked to have been a fly on the wall for any of those sessions. Anyway, that's if I were a carpenter.
Right, but also what I wanted to ask you is, were you listening to any Johnny Cash in the 60s?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I listened to Johnny Cash, and I listened to a lot of Johnny Cash, and I listened to Waylon Jennings.
Right.
I listened to...
Willie Nelson.
Willie Nelson. All of those so-called renegades, you know, outlaws.
Not that many people know Waylon Jennings, or certainly not Waylon Jennings. They know Willie Nelson maybe a little bit, you know, On the Road Again.
The guy I was trying to think of the name of just a few minutes ago was Merle Haggard.
Ah, right. Okay. Right.
Another guy that, yeah, and I kind of tie him to Johnny Cash in the respect that both of them spent some time in jail.
Right.
At one time in their lives. Okay. You know?
Let me play the next song for you now. This is going up a bit of a different alley, but it's still connected to folk music, which I think the previous songs have been about. So let me just play it for you.
She once had me. She showed me her room. Isn't it good? Norwegian wood. She asked me to stay and she told me to sit anywhere. So I looked around and I noticed there wasn't a chair. I sat on the road, biding my time,
So, who was that?
The Beatles.
Called Norwegian Wood.
All right, and what song?
Not Norwegian Wood.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, this song...
Good stuff.
Yeah, it's great stuff. And this is probably the most commercial thing that I've played so far. Something that everybody would know, basically.
Right.
But the song definitely has a big folk vibe, and Bob Dylan had a big influence on the Beatles, especially on John Lennon. Mm-hmm. Around that time, this was recorded in 1965. That's when the album came out, Rubber Soul. I know you have that album in your collection.
Oh, yeah.
Because I recorded it from your LP. The funny thing is that it supposedly Dylan recorded fourth time around on the Blonde on Blonde album as a parody of this song, recognizing that John Lennon had been kind of ripping him off. But
that's interesting.
Yeah. And yeah. The funny thing is, I mean, this is a great song, and it's in a waltz time, right? One,
right.
Two, three, one, two, three, one, two, three.
Yeah.
There are a lot of early Beatles records in your collection. Basically up to, I think, Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. Because I know I played the shit out of that one. But
we all played the album. Yeah.
Yeah, but I remember like playing, I do remember playing that album downstairs in the basement and having neighbor kids over and doing a whole air band, you know. Air drums,
right, right.
Air guitar, air this, and doing the album. I guess I was, I don't know, maybe 8, 9. How did you get into the Beatles? How did you discover the Beatles? I mean, they were all over the place in the U.S. anyway with the so-called British invasion. But
I you know, I've always liked music, period.
Right.
Okay. It isn't like I only listen to one particular kind. I mean, I even appreciate classical music as well, and there's some jazz. Well, there's quite a lot of jazz that I like.
We're going to get into that because there's some bluegrass things that were very connected to jazz and the so-called new grass movement.
Yep.
And
yep.
So on.
There's a lot of timing there. That, well, the new grass, the whole dog music.
Right. Era, right. Right.
And so on. Yeah. But I've always liked all kinds of music, and it's just that. The Beatles came along, and let's face it, if you liked music, you had to love them. They were just straight ahead good music, and they had, how should I put it, an awful lot of imagination. Their music was appealing to almost everybody, as far as I can tell.
Right.
And I don't know, I heard them on the radio. Of course, you couldn't help but hear him on the radio, and decided, you know, I gotta hear some more of this. So I went out and bought, I don't know what the first album was I bought of theirs, and it just kind of took off from there. So anyway, they were very good. I liked them a lot. They were also, I never quite got into the whole, how should I put it? There was a very, very hard rock element going on around that time, the very beginning of this, of the late 60s, early 70s,
yeah.
The whole San Francisco scene.
Okay.
And I was getting a little soured on that because it was all quite a bit louder and a lot more crazy, not very structured. And so I just didn't care for it.
Okay. Well, that you know, because that's one thing that I was wondering about that I wanted to ask you about is you had basically the entire Beatles catalog. You still have it in your record collection up to the White Album. You didn't buy the White Album. I couldn't find it.
No.
You don't have it, I think. And
no,
what you just said, I guess, sort of...
Yeah.
Yeah.
But no,
Right.
I think what I was getting at is that, okay, I'll give you an example. We went up to San Francisco one night, your mom and I, to hear a legend, really, a guy named Lone Cat Jesse Fuller. Mm-hmm. Now, Lone Cat Jesse Fuller was a one-man band. And when I say that, I mean he played all the instruments himself. He played a guitar, he had the harmonica, he had something he called a fodella, which was his foot bass. He could play the bass with his big toe.
Right.
And he had his other foot, he played the drums. And anyway, Lone Cat Jesse Fuller was going to be playing at this club up there. They said, we got to go see him. What I didn't pay a whole lot of attention to was the group that was going to be performing just before him was a group called Blue Cheer.
Oh, right. Yeah, Blue Cheer. I have that album.
You do?
Yeah, well, I do.
I didn't care for Blue Cheer at all.
I love Blue Cheer. Just
so far out there, I'm going, oh, my God. It was a typical San Francisco band, you know?
Right.
They followed with Lone Cat Jesse Fuller, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it was just the most bizarre show.
Right.
And he's just him, and he's playing along. I think he wrote, but if he didn't write it, he was the first person to ever really perform this. It's called San Francisco Bay Blues.
Right.
By the Bay, you know, if you've heard it a million times, I'm sure. San Francisco Bay Blues, he's the guy that did it. And then they had back then it was all about light shows.
Okay.
Of course, Blue Cheer had this light show going on the whole time, psychedelic light show. And so when Lone Cat Jesse Fuller got up to play San Francisco Bay Blues.
So I'm gonna just keep going. I got the blues from a baby left me by the San Francisco Bay. Taking an ocean liner, she gone so far away. Well, I didn't beat the kid so bad. He was the best girl I ever had. She said goodbye, she liked to make me cry. Wanna lay down and die. I haven't got a nickel, I ain't got a lot of dime. She don't come back, I think I'm gonna lose my mind. If she ever come back to stay, been another brand new day. Just walking with my baby down by the San Francisco Bay. Just because I'm feeling good, right all the way to the end of the line, thinking only of you. Stay a while in another city, it's just about to go insane. I'm like a wedding, my baby, with you to call my name. If you ever come back to stay, spend another brand new day, walking with my baby down by the San Francisco Bay.
By the way, Lone Cat Jesse Fuller made his living as a laborer, a construction laborer out of the hall in Oakland. And then somebody discovered his music and made an album. And then he would tour, he would go around, you know, a lot in the Bay Area. But anyway, when he was playing, they would show these old films of old railroads going behind him and such, you know. Anyway.
All right, look, I need to take a whiz.
Well, I'm going to go do the same thing.
All right.
I haven't been drinking any beer like you have. You've just been down on it.
Right.
So I can understand why you need to make a trip.
Exactly. Why don't you get a beer, too?
We'll make a trip.
Okay.
Move on down the line. I woke up this morning, I had no appetite. I think about my baby, I did not treat her right. Now she's gone and left me, she left me all alone. Ain't got nobody, come on, I got a mind. Move on down the line. Listen to me, baby, wherever you may be. I'm begging over the radio, please come back to me. Take me back, baby, try me one more time. If you don't take me back, I think I lose my mind. I got a mind, gonna move on down the line. I'm confessing, baby, I did not treat you right. Running around with other women, coming in late at night. Please forgive me for my wicked sin. Things I did to you, I'll never do it again. I got a mind, gonna move on down the line. If you take me back, baby, tell you what I'll do. I'll stop gambling and drinking. I'll give my love to you. Well, you know I love you. No one else will do. Give me one more chance. Prove my love is true. I got a mind. Gonna move on down the line.